All right. Good morning, everybody. It's so good to be with you this morning. My name is Kayla. I'm part of the team here at Eden. And if you are tuning in online, hello. Or if you are outdoor or if you are indoor here with us, I'm so happy to see you today. I got to tell you, this week as I was preparing and studying and getting ready for this message, I was getting really nervous. And the closer that Sunday came, the more nervous I was feeling. And then I remembered last weekend, my husband and I were watching our friend fight on TV in a UFC fight. And I thought, you know what? Public speaking isn't so bad. Nobody's going to be trying to punch me in the face. So I felt better. But I'm really happy to be with you this morning, and I'm excited for this message together. So let's get started. So as we get started, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever asked yourself, what am I even doing here? Like, I don't know about you, but I remember a year ago in March 2020 when everything shut down, and all of a sudden our plans, our rhythms, our work, everything changed overnight, right? And it was such a bizarre experience. Did anyone else just drive around the Bay Area and think, how crazy is it to see these massive office complexes just completely empty? But everything had changed. Maybe it was just me driving around the Bay Area in March 2020 with nowhere to go. But it was crazy, right? And it wasn't just the eeriness of seeing these huge empty complexes where we used to go to work. And it was more than just that weird feeling of deleting every single thing on the calendar. It was deeper than that. Like, what have I been working toward all these years? What is my purpose here in the Bay Area? What is happening to all my plans and everything that I've worked for? And maybe for you, it's not just this season of COVID. Maybe it's your season of life, like graduating from high school or college and realizing that your whole life is ahead of you, but not really knowing where to start. Or maybe it's in adulthood making a major career change and having that feeling that you're back at square one again. Or maybe it's when your kids grow up and become adults and they leave the house and it completely changes the dynamics of your home life. Whatever it may be, all of us at some point have asked the question, what am I doing here and what is my purpose in this life? And so to answer that question this morning, we are going to continue this series that we started a few weeks ago called Behind the Scenes. This is all about how God is at work even when we can't see him. And so to do that, we've been going through the book of Esther, which is a book in the Old Testament of the Bible. That's the first half of the Bible. But before we get started, I want to quickly recap where we've come from and where we're going so that we know how everything fits together. So in week one, we learned about King Xerxes, who is this king in ancient Persia. And we saw that Xerxes has a bad temper and bad advisors. He banished his queen when she refused him. Then in week two, we saw Esther, this young, strong Jewish woman. She's beautiful. She came from nothing. She was an orphan. And through God's providence in her life, he raised her to become the new queen. Then in week three, we saw how bad advice can change your life. Because even though King Xerxes, now he has Esther in his life, he also has a man named Haman. And Haman is this cruel, evil individual. He is a key advisor for Xerxes. And Haman, last week we saw, he has orchestrated a plan to commit mass genocide on the entire Jewish population. And even scarier, last week we saw he already gained the king's approval to do it. And so where we're picking up the story this morning, these are dark times. An official decree is being sent throughout the land ordering the death of the Jews. And so let's start in Esther 4, verse 1. When Mordecai learned about all that had been done, he went out into the city crying with a loud and bitter wail. So Mordecai is Esther's relative, and he is this strong, honorable man. He raised her when she was an orphan. We saw him in last week's message. He's so brave. He stood up to evil Haman. He refused to bow down to him. Now we see Mordecai weeping and wailing publicly in the city streets. So this is a transformation in Mordecai to see him like this. Most people grieve in private, right? But Mordecai is not just weeping, but wailing publicly. Like, I don't know about you, but for me, growing up, seeing my dad cry was an extremely rare occasion. Like, I can only think of one or two times in my whole childhood that I saw my dad cry. But Mordecai, Esther's adopted dad, he's not just tearing up a little bit. He is this strong man so overcome with emotion that he's wailing loudly, publicly. Seeing Mordecai's emotion in this moment, we really start to feel the weight and the seriousness of what these people are facing. And then verse 3 says, as news of the king's decree reached all the provinces, there was great mourning among the Jews. They fasted, wept, and wailed. So this is more even than public personal grief. This is public communal grief. An entire population is thrown into chaos. With this swift action by the rulers, a decree of death is being pronounced. Haman has shown the length that he's willing to go to commit evil, and it's scary. Sometimes in these defining moments, all we can do is just cry out to God. But other times we turn away from God. The pain becomes this great chasm that feels like a grand canyon of separation between where our heart is and where we think God is, because we can't feel him. We can't see him. We don't understand where he is or what he's doing. And it's in moments like this when we feel like there is no purpose. There is just pain and chaos and confusion. And then in these moments come the questions, those deeper questions like, what am I even doing here? What is my purpose in this life? If the story stopped here, Haman, this cruel, evil individual, would have won it all because he already consolidated all the political power. He's put into motion this plan of genocide, and he has the king's approval. The darkness of death is just looming in the air. And the people were so afraid, they didn't know what to do because no one could have seen this coming. No one could have prepared for this. This is the type of moment in life where nothing can prepare you for what's coming. The people do not have a plan. But God did. God had already been at work behind the scenes long before any of this began, positioning his people. God has them here for a reason. The next part of the story, we can learn something truly amazing from Mordecai, because even though he's walking through the darkest days of his life, in faith, he makes two important strategic decisions. First, he sends word to Queen Esther. So he takes this to the highest political power that he has access to, seeking justice. And second, more importantly, he takes this to God. It says he and his entire community begin fasting. When we fast, we decrease our physical consumption in order to increase our spiritual connection to God. We ask God to act in our city, in our community, in our world. We lay down our appetites and allow God to sustain us. And so that's what the people did. They fasted. And then verse 4 says, when Queen Esther's maids came and told her about Mordecai, she was deeply distressed. She sent clothing to him to replace the burlap, but he refused it. So Esther hears about Mordecai's grief. And it's interesting that her first response is to send him clothes, because he's dressed in burlap and ashes, which are traditional dress in this time for people who are grieving. But Mordecai refuses the clothes that she sends, and so he's unable to enter the palace gate. Like, just like how golf courses have dress codes, apparently so did their palace. So he's not allowed to come in. So Mordecai can't come talk to Esther about this situation. So here's the crazy part. They proceed to have the most important conversation of their lives, not face-to-face, through the use of an attendant running back and forth between them. Like, it's ironic. I don't know if you've ever been in a meeting. I definitely have, where it was so important. I was trying to take notes fast enough, hoping I could read my handwriting later. Hopefully it made sense. But this attendant, he's relaying news back and forth between Mordecai and Esther of a life or death situation. He must have really felt the pressure to get the message right. So verse 5, Esther orders her attendant to go to Mordecai and find out what's wrong. So he does. Mordecai gives Esther's servant a full rundown of everything that's happening, all the details of the decree, and the impending destruction that's coming for their people. Mordecai, through the attendant, then asks Esther to go to the king and beg for mercy, to plead for her people's lives. Mordecai, in this moment, he's laying it all on the line. And Esther's first response comes in verse 10. She's concerned that if the king doesn't approve of Esther coming to him and asking to save her people, she can be put to death. So we have to remember right now, remember chapter 1. Remember who Xerxes is. He is rash. He is unpredictable. He wields his power in really egotistical ways. And so Esther is afraid. And I love this part of the story because here we see Esther's genuine, authentic humanity. She is afraid. She's afraid of the king. She knows him. She knows who he is and what he has the power to do. Esther is so strong. She is our future hero in this story. But right now we see her vulnerable. We see her asking questions that show that she's afraid. She's hesitating and she's reluctant. In the face of adversity, initial reluctance is natural. Fear and reluctance show that we're taking it seriously and counting the cost. Verse 13 says, Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? So Esther fears for her life, and the full weight of reality is starting to come down on her. Her people will be murdered. She may be murdered, but God has her here for a reason. Mordecai's faith in this moment is huge because he says deliverance will arise from some other place. God will make a way. But he says, Esther, if you don't act, you and your relatives will die. You will miss out on being part of God's saving plan if you don't act now. Mordecai speaks so much vision into Esther's life. He's asking her, what if all of this, what if your entire life, you being queen, everything, what if it was all for this moment, for such a time as this, Esther? God has you here for a reason. God had Esther exactly where he wanted her to be. He positioned her. He orchestrated everything behind the scenes. And like so many times in life, God moves at the intersection of his faithfulness and our willingness. I love how Esther responds in verse 15. She says, then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather together all of the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. Then I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I die, I die. Esther is scared, but she's prepared. She gets her entire community fasting on her behalf and asking God for deliverance. She resolves to do what is right, no matter the cost, even if it costs her her life. Can you believe that Esther leans into this? I mean, who does Esther think she is going up against evil Haman like this? Haman has the king on his side, but Esther has God on her side. And God plus nothing equals everything that we need. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful to know that Esther was where she was for a reason. And God has each of us here for a reason. When we realize how much God loves us and that he had a plan all along, we connect to a purpose in life that is so much greater than anything that we could come up with for ourselves. In Jesus, we find hope. We find purpose and meaning. We find strength to face even the darkest and hardest things in life. We can do this because God has us here for a reason. Now it is my privilege to invite my friend Sophie up here. Sophie is going to share her story and how God gave her purpose in her life. Can we give Sophie the biggest Eden welcome?
Thank you, Kayla. Hey, everyone. Good morning. It's so funny because looking at my life today, I never ever thought that I'd be standing on this stage and inside a church, let alone. And I just feel like God has me here for a purpose and for a reason, and the same is true for you. God has you where you are for a purpose and for a reason. If we haven't connected yet, my name is Sopaw, and you might hear some people call me Sophie. That's my nickname, so you can call me Sopaw or Sophie. I'm married to my husband, Tommy, who's actually behind the camera today. Woo! I see you, boo. Make sure you get those angles right for our church online family, okay? Okay, so I want to ask, how many of you have thought about moving or leaving? Raise your hand. Anybody? Okay, so I'm not alone. Honestly, scrolling on Zillow became a real hobby for me in 2020. But the real question is, how many of you have thought about moving to Austin, Texas? Because I definitely have. And I know some of you are moving to Austin, Texas. If you're watching online this morning, comment yes in the chat if you have thought about moving or leaving. I thought about moving away from San Jose all last year because I'm like, what am I even here for? I'm home all day, one bedroom apartment. I can hear everything my neighbors are doing, what they're listening to, everything, right? This tiny little space between me and Tommy. And honestly, I was just losing hope if I would ever afford a home in the Bay Area. Anyone feel me? Anybody? So I'm talking about what are we even here for? Is it just to work, make money, and move out? Because honestly, that was my plan in 2016. In 2016, I was like, I'm gonna move here, work, and move out. But it's 2021. What has changed? So let me tell you how this all started. Tommy and I are both from Indiana. Shout out to all my Midwest and Indiana people in the house. And my family on Church Online right now watching in Indiana. You guys better be blowing up that chat on Church Online right now. So Tommy and I are both from the Midwest, and we both went to school at Purdue University. Tommy got this amazing job here in the Bay Area, and when he got the job offer, I'm like, I'm coming too. I want to move to California. I have nothing to lose. And so we both said yes to moving across the country to this new place. I've never been in California before, and now we're here. So we're just going to see what happens. I moved to San Jose, I graduated from Purdue, and I started my business 1 month after moving out here. And I thought I was going to be living the dream here in California. I'm like, I'm going to build my brand. I'm going to buy all the Nikes and all the Lululemon leggings and my dream car. I'm going to build my brand. All these material things, right? I just thought that was going to be my life. I'm going to live the dream in California. I had no family and no friends here. I just had Tommy, who was working a lot. Tommy was in construction, and so his job was really demanding of his time. And he would come home from work, and I would be talking his ear off because I talked to nobody besides the barista at Phil's that day. I was just like talking to him about everything because I didn't see anybody. I had no community here. I left this thriving community at Purdue to what felt like nothing here in California. And after facing my reality of San Jose, I'm like, well, it's really expensive to live here. I have no family, I have no friends. And before I moved here, I was paying $400 a month in rent, living in my college town with my best friend Jackie, who's also here. And I was like, I felt like I was living the dream in Indiana, right? But I'm like, whatever, I'll just try and move here. But little did I know, God had a whole other plan for me and my life in San Jose. It's not just a temporary place for me anymore. So I want to tell you guys that story. So when you start a business, what do you need? You need clients, right? I didn't have anything. I didn't have anybody to sell my services to. So I joined this random business networking event. And at that event, I met someone named Rick Trevino. Yes. We're clapping for Rick Trevino because a lot of the people in this room know who Rick is. He was part of helping launch Eden 4 years ago. And I'm just so thankful for Rick. Rick, I really hope that you're watching this morning on Church Online or watching the replay. And Rick actually happened to wrestle in high school with our pastor, Daniel. Shout out to Fremont High School, right? And little did I know that Rick, you know, would play this huge part in my life. I just thought that Rick was just this random, business colleague at this networking event. And remember when I said I had no family or friends here, right? So Father's Day rolls around, and Rick emails me. He's like, hey, you want to come check out my church, Eden Church? We're having a barbecue after service. I'm like, free food? I'm in. I don't know about this church stuff, but I'll go because there's free food. And Eden Church is my first church community ever, so I'm like, I felt uncomfortable. I felt awkward. I did not know what I was walking into. So I walk onto Eden's campus, and we're meeting at an elementary school at the time, and I see this girl. Her name is Sharon, and she's here this morning. She's over here. Sharon. Yeah, Sharon. So I walk onto campus, super nervous, super anxious, and Sharon is just smiling, and she's like, would you like some coffee? And I'm like, yeah, I would love coffee. Little did Sharon know, I'm a huge coffee lover, so I feel like God placed her in that position exactly for a reason, to help relieve my anxiety. And where I grew up, growing up, I wasn't used to seeing people who look like me. So my skin color, my hair color, and when you see Sharon today, you will think that she could be me from the back because she looks so much like me. And because Sharon looked like me on Eden Church's campus, I was like, okay, this place is not weird. Like, I got this. I can do this. And I had no desire to find a church. Eden Church is my first community, like I said. Little did I know, God had a plan that entire time. I then met Rick's mom, Sophia, who's sitting right here. Sophia, I love you. So Sophia invited us to celebrate Thanksgiving at her house. And we had, again, no family here. So Tommy and I were about to, like, order Boston Market and just eat at home by ourselves. But then Sophia invited us to Thanksgiving, and I will always remember how much that meant to me. I said I wasn't going to cry. God filled in my gap of community with a thriving community. These people became my church family, and I'm so thankful. Whoops. You know what? I can hold it. You want to help me, Daniel? This is perfect. I can get it together. Thank you. So like we talked about when we started this series, is that God is not mentioned in the book of Esther one time, but his presence fills the pages of this book. God was not part of my story either. At least I didn't think so, but he was working behind the scenes this entire time. And I know that God is working in ways that you and I cannot even see right now. I love that Esther gave God a yes to go to King Xerxes and stop her people from getting killed. God was in control this entire time, but Esther and Mordecai, they still had to act, right? And I think that God works through our willingness to say yes. He has you where you are for a purpose so much greater than you can see now. When you put your yes on the table, that is when God helps you discover your purpose. And here's how I was able to discover my purpose in San Jose. Honestly, it was through a series of saying yes and stepping into faith. When I said yes to moving here, leaving my family $400 a month rent with my best friend to a dinky studio that was ridiculously expensive. I said yes to starting a business with not knowing very much of what was to come. I said yes to checking out this networking event. I said yes to Rick's email of coming to Eden. I said yes to joining a group. And ultimately, saying yes to follow Jesus and becoming a follower of Jesus. Becoming a follower of Jesus has absolutely changed my life. Wow. I told you I wasn't going to cry. I am not the same person that I was in 2016 when I moved to San Jose. I truly feel like I'm made new. And I also don't want you to expect that this faith journey, this walk with God, is going to be all easy and comfortable, because it's probably not going to be that. It wasn't like that for me. But what I can promise you is that God loves you, and he has an amazing plan for your life. When I look back, I am so thankful for people who believed that they had a purpose beyond their careers. They had a purpose here in San Jose. I feel like a huge part of how God shows you your purpose is through the people that he surrounds you with. I am so thankful, Rick, when you watch this, that your calling was more than being a realtor.
Testing. Wow, what an adventure this morning. Rick, I'm so thankful that you have a calling that's greater than a realtor. You had no idea that one invite would change my life. And Tommy's life. I'm so thankful for Sharon, who lives on mission. She serves her heart out for the Lord, you guys. She is one of the hardest working women I know. I love you, Sharon. And as I continued my faith journey, I learned that I had some sin in my life. I didn't know I was living in sin, but I totally was living in sin. And so I opened my heart to learn what a Christian marriage looked like. I said yes to learning from Billy and Ellie Bosworth. Billy over here, Ellie over here. I was going to tell a joke that Billy was sitting in the front row, and he's probably going to block your view because he is so tall, but he's back there, so he's not blocking anybody's view this morning. Billy and Ellie welcomed me with open arms into their home for 8 months. I lived with them for 8 months, and they taught me so much. I felt so loved and accepted for who I was. They had all the hot sauce in the refrigerator for me, you know? They loved me. They accepted me. But they did not let me stay the person that I was when I moved into that house. They left me better than they found me. And I'm so thankful for people like Sophia, Gina, Shirley, the Woes, the Harrises, so many other people that I cannot even mention right now that have played a huge part in my faith journey. I just have so much gratitude, honestly. Their purpose in life was more than their jobs. Their purpose was more than their careers. And because of them, my life has changed. And because of Esther, her people and their lives are changed forever. I wouldn't be a Christian if God wasn't working in every single detail in my life to bring me here for this moment and this purpose. I love what Pastor Craig Rochelle says. He says, God does not prepare you for your calling. He prepares you in your calling. I want to say that again because it's just so good, and I never realized this was true until really this year. God doesn't prepare you for your calling. He prepares you in your calling. He's preparing you right now, wherever you are. Your calling is so much more than you think. I thought that social media marketing was going to be my calling. I mean, I've dedicated like 15 years of my life to this, right? I'm like, this is it. I'm going to, you know, do social media, make all this money, and then move on to the next thing. I don't know. And I'm so thankful that social media is my career. But what I learned is I'm just called to be more like Jesus, to be faithful to where God has placed me. You guys, I thought about moving away from San Jose all last year. Like, I could barely stand it. But now I've learned that I'm just called to be faithful to where God has placed me here in San Jose. Make the best of it. Sure, rent's expensive, family's far, but God has provided and He continues to fill that gap. I just want to be more loving and more compassionate and slower to anger. I'm sure Tommy would be like, yes, that's good. I'm called to live here, to love my neighbors and serve my city the best that I can. Esther's calling was more than just being a queen. She was placed to save her people from dying, and she was there for a higher purpose. I didn't think that San Jose would ever be my home, and I'm sorry my family who's watching hearing this. But what I see 5 years later is that God has called me to be in a place for such a time as this, and the same is true for you, no matter where you are right now. If you're watching online, you're in Indiana, you're in North Carolina, wherever you are, or you're in San Jose watching at home, God has you where you are for a reason. And I just learned that I'm just here to live on mission and give hope to this city that desperately needs it, right? And to plant roots and to live scent, like my friend Shauna would say. And I love how Esther says, she's like, if I die, I die. I mean, she was willing to follow God no matter what the cost. She just leaned in. And I know that we're not living in Esther's time, right? But I want to just follow God no matter what the cost. I'm so inspired by her in that way. I realize that I'm here for the Bay Area to also fill in the gaps because God filled in so many of my gaps, right? And I think about my friends, Chelsea and Chamberlain Johnson, who moved here for a nursing contract very temporarily, like 5 months. And they're like, oh, we don't need to find a church. It's okay. work and make money and get out. Literally my exact plan. But God had a different plan for their life, right? Somehow they found about Eden Church on Facebook, social media. Let's go. I love hearing that. They found out about Eden on social media. They decided to join me and Tommy's, our small group. And now they can say they have a church community, a church family here in California. It's not just a place to work, right? And she has been working in so many people's lives that are here. I don't know if God is going to have me here in San Jose forever. But what I can say is that, you know, I just want to be faithful to where he's placed me. I don't know if God is going to have you where you are forever. If it could be 2 more weeks, 1 more month, I don't know. Just lean in and make the best of it. And Church Online, the same goes for you. God can use you where you are. So this is my story. What is yours? I would love to hear. Spend some time this week with God and pray. Have him show you how he's been working in your life. Ask God for a calling that is more than your career. Ask God how you can be used for such a time as this. In your work, in your family, in the teams that you lead. God could have you where you are for your neighbor, your coworkers, or your friends. And just remember Rick, how he changed my life with that invite. God has you placed exactly where you are for a purpose and a reason. Thank you.